Everything all right over there?
Pardon me. I didn't know you had the sliders up.
I put it on live because sometimes you like to comment on things, so I let it.
Sorry, Brad.
Anyway, clearing of the throat would be Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. But just really quickly, today, considerable cloudiness with a few breaks of sun, breezy, 46 to 53. So it's going to be pretty cool for a lot of people. Might not get out of the 40s, but tomorrow's going to be great. Sunny near 60. Friday, not bad. Morning sun, maybe some clouds in the afternoon in the low to mid 60s. And Saturday could hit the 70s.
Nice.
And then Easter Sunday, mostly sunny, low to mid 60s. So it sounds, the weather just is improving. You just got to really get through today. All right, let's get to it. Tuesday, but on a Wednesday. Let's start with, I actually want to start with this phone hacking because I think it's the most accessible topic.
Sure.
For people. And so there are, outside of like massive disruption that you know it's been hacked, whether it's like, I don't know what, whether you get a blank screen or it doesn't work or whatever. What are some things that should make people a little concerned that maybe your phone's been compromised?
Well, ZDNet did a great article on it. And one of the primary ways to start is that your battery is draining more quickly than usual. And that's kind of tough with iPhone folks because they've had all these issues with batteries and the battery gate and all that kind of stuff. But if you start seeing your battery drain faster than usual, you could have spyware installed on it trying to utilize the resources and best drain
the
battery.
Do you do? If that particular thing is in case, do you bring it to the Apple Store?
Well, you can obviously bring it to the, I call it the fruit stand. You can bring it to the Apple Store and have them take a look at it and see if they can find anything. You can, of course, run scans. Now, of course, again, iPhone users tend to think they're impervious to any kind of issue.
Well, they think the phone's impregnable.
There you go. And you can run some scans on it. ESET has some free services you can run on your phone to see if you've got any kind of spyware on it, but that's definitely something you can do. Also, if your phone's running slowly, another symptom of something possibly wrong.
So running slowly and the battery draining.
Yep.
Just as an aside, sometimes people are like, oh, if your phone's not working well, just turn it off for a little bit because some people never turn it off. Does that actually work?
There's a couple things on that. CISA actually talked about this, or the FBI. We've had them on the show before. Reboot your phone on a regular basis because if you do have a compromise, disconnecting from the bad guy is a good way to prevent that. So reboot your phone on a regular basis. It'll clear things up and it'll disconnect if there's any spyware happening on your phone.
Just did it right now.
There you go.
I do
it all the time.
Give it a little snoozerooski. It's good for everybody.
Yeah.
All right. So China. I mean, this trade war is maybe it'll bleed into other elements of our life, but it could bleed into cyber.
It really could because, again, the FBI has been warning for quite a long time that China's got footholds in all sorts of our businesses and our infrastructures, and they're waiting, right? They're waiting to do something with that. Lots of compromises out there from firewalls to what have you, and we saw the whole thing with the Typhoon attack where they were going after the banking system. So the worry is that if we push China too hard, they might pull some stuff on us. Now, I would also assume we're going to have stuff on their networks as well. So and now you could
but
have
the
a cyber
difference
war.
Is they can co-opt the best and the brightest to work for them, whereas the best and the brightest here work in the private sector. So like,
well, the problem is the private sector has also been compromised, right? So you're looking at you could have any kind of business could be compromised by the Chinese as far as having something on their networks, not just the public sector. So understand that that's an issue out there, and companies like us are trying to help our clients protect themselves from this kind of stuff. But the concern is if we push them too hard, they might take action, and then, of course, we'll have some sort of first cyber war out there, right? You know, and we don't want that, obviously.
No, and then some people think that kind of war has been waged for a long time anyway. They just would ramp it up.
They just ramp it up, yeah. Right? And turn stuff off is kind of what will happen.
He's Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on WTIC every Saturday. And on Tuesdays at 8:20, we do Tech Tuesday. But I don't know, we had something, you had something.
Yeah, I couldn't do it yesterday.
We made it a Wednesday thing, which is nice because some people aren't in their car at 8:20 on a Tuesday. And they get the power of Tech Tuesday on a Wednesday. Anyway, I just like saying that. I should have done the clip from Lego Movie and ran it. Speaking of stuff like this, you know, big companies, billion-dollar companies are still finding ways to be compromised, which is kind of shocking to me when they have that, those kind of resources and they're still vulnerable.
Yeah, that's why I kind of brought it up. So operations of a sensor giant, Sensata, was disrupted by a ransomware attack. So this is a company with 18,000 employees. This is a tech company, and they have had a ransom incident. And basically what that means is their stuff has been encrypted, so they can't use it, right? The computers work fine, except they can't be operated because they've been completely ransomed. And they have to pay Bitcoin, thanks to some ding-dong who created Bitcoin, and they can pay somebody anywhere on the planet some sort of ransom to have them send the decryption key, hopefully, and become unencrypted.
So they had to do it.
Well, they'll have to do it, or if they have a great recovery setup where you actually can go and roll back where you were before the ransomware attack occurred, then they don't have to do it. And that's the kind of key where you'll find out how long they're down. If a company's down for weeks or months, it means they had a very poor disaster recovery plan in place. They didn't have a tool in place that'll roll them back before the ransom occurred, or they didn't have a tool in place to monitor that their system was becoming ransom before it became ransomed.
I don't understand how once you pay them off, you can't just catch them.
Well, you're sending it through an encryption through the Bitcoin system, and yes, it is becoming more of a thing that you can actually trace where these wallets end up. But if these wallets end up in Uzbekistan, what are you going to do, Brian?
Yeah, I don't want to go to Uzbekistan, even virtually.
I'm good.
You shared a really good anecdote offline. You know, we don't have any AI news. I mean, I wasn't so much interested in the other stuff. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure, we can talk about the AI.
Yeah, because I like this example because I'm holding out as long as I can, but. You know, AI can be very helpful, even though Eric hates it.
I didn't say anything. What?
In some respects.
I didn't say that.
Your example,
there's a bubble coming.
Your example is a perfect one about how when you think you're doing something to help yourself, you're maybe not.
Right, yeah. So I gave this example on our show on Saturday, but my son, my middle son, is leasing a condo, right? And he gets this AI contract from the lessor, and he's got this crazy lease document, and he goes and ingests it into his AI. So the lessor actually produced it with AI, and my son then ingested into AI and asked AI, hey, where is this contract should I be worried about?
First of all, just in basic terms, I have to ask this.
Yeah.
They get the lease document gets emailed like in a PDF,
yeah.
And then they just feed it into AI.
AI. Okay. AI will then look at it, and then he asks AI, hey, anything of these areas that I have to be worried about? Now, remember, there's no attorneys involved here. And so my wife and I are helping him read this document. It looks very, very scary, right? Most lease documents when we were out there when his age were just a basic one-pager, right?
Yeah.
Don't burn the place down.
First, last, and security, and you're good to go. Good.
This thing was like 17 pages, right? So he's like, wow, who am I dealing with? He's thinking because, again, he doesn't know who he's dealing with. And so we go through the whole process, and he's all nervous. He's got all these approaches that we suggested he take with the lessor to say, hey, you know, I don't like this area. I don't like this area. And it turns out the guy didn't even care. He made it with AI. He's like, whatever. We'll take whatever out you want. So we spent all
this
time.
So the guy who owns the property or manages the property generated the lease agreement through artificial intelligence.
Right. And created all this hullabaloo for nothing. Right. So my wife and I are wasting time. My son's wasting time. The guy created it. He just had my son just, I don't like this. I don't like this. He took it right out. So what are we doing? Right. If AI is improving things, I'm not sure we did there. Who knows what that document actually has in it as far as good or bad. And we really would want to look to an expert like a lawyer and say, hey, does this make any sense? Am I going to pay a lawyer now to look at my son's document? No. Right. Who's going to do that? But if you started with a general document from an attorney to begin with, you would have had a better outcome, I think.
I think it's your fault.
Yeah, it could be.
This. You get a 17-page lease document, you know this guy's got to be a schlub who just, you know, was... I mean, because I think there's now... We need to find ways to recognize... And academics, it's challenging, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, with high school kids, some kids are not even smart enough to edit it, and it's obvious that it's not their words and so on and so forth. But we need to develop skills now to detect what's authentic and what has been generated by something else.
So much is becoming generated by something else, and who knows what kind of hallucinations are going to be in it. I mean, who knows that document could have generated all sorts of weird areas, and that's why my son had us look at it, because we leased some property
ourselves.
Well,
it's a good thing you caught it, and it was interesting that he just said, yeah, no problem, let's just take it all out.
Exactly.
You spent all this time on it. What a waste.
It was crazy.
But it's a good story for people to hear, so I'm glad of it. Again, Eric Semmel, Tab Computers, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 every Saturday, and usually at 8:20 on Tuesdays, we have Tech Tuesday. It's always good. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian.